All right, we're going to continue with our post-race media availabilities for today's Geico 500. We are joined by members of the race-winning team, which was the number 2 Shell Pennzoil Auto Trader Ford for Team Penske. We're joined by our crew chief, Todd Gordon, and car owner, Roger Penske. Gentlemen, why don't you each just take us through what this race means for you guys to get this third win for Joey here at Talladega?
Yeah, it's a it's a great momentum builder. I think as the season's gone on, we've worked on trying to make ourselves better. It's very well documented. We had a very struggle through the year last year, and we ended the year with a little momentum and a direction. And I think everybody dug in the off season to try to figure out where we needed to go. And we've been doing that. We haven't quite gotten to this position, but we come to a racetrack where I think Joey Logano is one of the best plate racers. I think Brad is as well, and they work off each other. It's a great accomplishment to get ourselves playoff eligible and carry this momentum forward, because it's the next step from what we've had with several top 10 finishes this year.
And Roger?
Well, obviously to see Joey in the winner's circle, we had to. Encumbered finish, back in Richmond, and to get that off his back, and after a number of races, and see him execute today. I think it was really a well laid out plan when you think about the way the Fords ran all day. I mean, I think we talked about it with the teams, and people worked with each other, and I think that makes a difference. And our cars were up there. We won the 2 stages, which was was critical. And then Joey had a strong car. I take my hat off to. Really to Todd to put that car together. Then you got to look at the Roush Yates Ford Power, which was unbelievable today. Those cars were up front. They could move from the back to the front, and then execution in the pit. So I just have to say it was a perfect day, and one we needed. We've been hanging around the top 5 for most of the season, except right there at Daytona. So it shows that we've got our big track game together. But, we got to do some more work to get where we need to be. But, I congratulate the whole team and the sponsors, and certainly want to thank the fans here in Talladega. We've had some good luck down here, and I remember racing down here with Rusty and Bobby Allison, so a lot of memories here for me.
Absolutely. All right, we'll now open up to questions for these two. We'll start here in the middle with Mike, and then we'll go to Matt, and then Bob.
Mike Embry, USA Mike. Today. You mentioned Joey and the Richmond race and so on. It's been a long drought for him, and that win was kind of messy. Have you had to kind of push him along over these months, encourage him, talk about things, or has it just been regular Joey?
Well, I think that quality of a young man that he is, obviously, it gnaws on you when you're not in the winner's circle. And I don't think we had good enough cars for him last year at some point for him to execute, which didn't help the situation. But I think Todd and the team, we put our heads down, looked at what we had to do. The new rules seem to have helped the Ford teams, and certainly the execution by Stuart Haas and the rest of the Ford guys has been excellent. So he stayed on course. He's a committed guy to the team, long-term player with us. And to me, you go through that in business. You have some bad years, but I think at the end of the day, he's a superior young man and works well with Brad and helped bring Blaney along. Menard did well today. These guys are working together. They've all got the same kind of cars. So, it's like a 7-iron. How are you going to hold it, and how are you going to hit the shot? And that's what these guys have been doing in the last several weeks. And, had a third-place finish here a week or so ago. So I think that he spun up. And obviously, he said in the winner's circle, this really got the monkey off his back. So, in one way, I say he was cool and collected. Maybe inside he was torn up, but today it took care of all that.
We'll go to the back left to Matt.
Matt Weaver with AutoWeek.com. This is for Todd. The first stage was pretty hairy as far as cars being a little out of control. So I'm curious, was there anything in practice that indicated that it was going to be that way? And what were the general changes you guys had to make to be able to make the cars a little bit more stable?
Well, there's a couple things that happened here. I mean, obviously, the new ride height package, that I don't know if it's as visible to you guys, but it totally changed speedway racing for us, because we're able to keep the cars lower, and we can stiffen up rear springs and really get the cars faster. There's a lot more that you can play now of speed versus handling, where before when we had the package we had last year, where the rear shocks and the rear springs were issued and heights were kind of set, there was less of a box to work within. And with the change that we've had with speedway racing this year, we now as teams get to play more of the how much handling, how much speed do I want to trade off. I think you saw that with a lot of cars. I think you know, we saw it at Daytona as well. And everybody came here thinking Talladega has not been a handling race. But with this new drop package and where we could go with it, you could get yourself where you couldn't handle. I think you know, we did a good job as a team at Daytona to understand what we needed to work on and what made a significant difference. And we worked through that with practice with a couple drafting runs that we had. But you can't really tell until, you know, you don't see the real picture until you've got 40 cars out there. And we can try to draft with five or six, but when you're standing in line, you've got decent air on the car, you don't know how bad the car is going to get. But I think, you know, having an experienced drafter like Joey, he's aware during practice of what we need to work on. And we made some changes coming into the race, and I thought we had good stability. I thought we made a good adjustment on the first stop to add some more stability to our car without taking a lot of speed away. And then from that point, we just strategized where we kept our track position with tires and fuel.
Come up front to Bob.
Bob Hockers, ESPN. Todd, after the big wreck, you guys were talking on the radio telling Joey that his teammates are gone. And yet you talk about how, you know, there were a lot of Fords up there. But are you thinking, well, no way are you going to beat the 41 and the 10. They should be able to gang up on you.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you got to paint the best picture you can, right? That's our job. But, you know, you look at it, and I would say, you know, outside of the direct teammates, I would say if you look through history here and rewatch the end of races here, Joey and Kevin Harvick find each other. That's been something. Even when Kevin was in a Chevrolet, I think they see things a lot the same. So they tend to find each other and work together. So to me, to look at it and say you've got, you know, you've got Ford teammates with all the same power plants that Roush Yates provides. It put us in a situation where, you know, we try to keep a relationship with those guys and work as one Ford. I think it's you know, you do what you can within that. We're going to race them at the end, but it's easier to race with Kevin and Kurt than it would be to race with, you know, the Hendrick guys for us. So, you know, we had good speed. I think all of us had good speed and kudos to the Roush Yates guys, because I think with two to go, we had the top five spots with Ford. So it's a pseudo teammate. It's not what our teammates were, but it's a relationship that we continue to try to build, because I think together we can all be successful.
We're going to go to Christian and then go to Jim.
Christian Coley, frontstretch.com and the Motorsports News Source. Todd, this question's for you. Over the offseason, Joey and the team switched over from Tab Boyd to TJ Majors. You know, this is a very important race with spotters. Can you tell me kind of what the transition has been like so far this season going to a new spotter?
Yeah, it's been flawless to what I would expect. You know, there's always a learning curve, and I think TJ and Joey have done a great job of you know, they get race footage and then they go talk about what the race was. And I guess I would put the spotter and driver combination as a marriage. You know, you can have two wonderful people and you got to find the perfect fit. And Tab did a phenomenal job for us. I think he continues to do a really good job for the 24 car where he is now. But it's just you know, the opportunity at speedway races. I think you know, TJ's done a phenomenal job with Dale Jr. in the past several years, and he's seen a lot. And we saw the opportunity to bring TJ on board and help us grow our speedway program. Whether it be how he helps Joey with it and how he sees things happen, there's a lot of communication from speedway side that the spotter can see that we can't. You know, the driver can see the bumper of the car ahead of him. The crew chief can see what happens in the front stretch, but the spotter sees everything. So, you know, I think TJ's been a great asset and just another place that we could build our notebook a little bit stronger.
I'll go over to Jim on the far right.
Jim Mutter, motorsport.com. For Todd, I'm over here, other side. Kind of following up on your answer to Bob, when you approach strategy for these races right now, is it more of a Team Penske strategy, or is it more of a Ford strategy, or is it difficult to differentiate between the two these days?
Well, when you look at these speedway races, you've got to be in a position. I mean, you can't do anything on your own. When you look at the draft, it's seconds that you give up if you're by yourself. And even to the point, you know, four is borderline working. So within Team Penske, we can control a lot of things, but you have to look at attrition and what happens. So, you try to find those guys that have common interests And I would say our relationship with Stuart Haas and with the Roush Fenway guys is we have a common goal. We want Ford to be in victory lane, and that's, you know, we want our own Ford to be in victory lane, but we all want Ford to be there. And I think you look to work with the guys that you know have similar stuff to you and have similar interests, and that's a relationship that, you know, as Ford brought Stuart Haas into the mix, they continue to push us to make our stuff better. You know, we see that when Kevin outruns us, there's no excuses. Same motors, same body spec. We've got work to do. So, it's a great relationship where we can push each other to be better.
Is it safe to say that if you hadn't developed those relationships, Joey getting this win today, given the circumstances, would have been very difficult?
I think if you look at it, we end up as the only Team Penske car that's not damaged at the end of the race. So you've got to put yourself in position. Like I said, you know, some of that goes back to, I will say, yes, the Ford relationship's good, but some of that goes back to Kevin and Joey actually have a very good relationship. I think they understand each other and they race each other. They get each other. And that's he's been somebody we've worked with when we weren't on the same team from a manufacturer standpoint. That's only gotten stronger since we've become the same manufacturer.
We're going to stay here in the middle and then go to Caleb and Pat.
This question is for Roger. Joseph Goodman with AL.com. I wanted to get your thoughts on your perspective on a big picture topic. Ford is going to discontinue manufacturing of most of its cars by the end of the decade. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I think if you're familiar with the mix of cars and trucks that are being sold, if you go back to really 2017, it was about probably 55% trucks and SUVs, and the sedans were starting to really fall. And I think the strategy that Ford's look like, their probably margins are better on trucks and SUVs. They have the Lincoln brand, which is very strong now with the Navigator. And to me, probably as we look into 2018, we'll look at the numbers, it's going to be 65-70% cars sold in the United States, some 16.5 million, and that's going to be trucks and SUVs. So, you know, I think it's focusing the right way. And if you look at all the manufacturers, what are all the new models they're bringing out? 90% of them are bringing out trucks. So, look, that's a decision made in the boardroom, you know, not by the race team, I can tell you that. But, you know, overall, I think it's a smart move.
How do you think that is going to affect stock car racing in the United States?
Well, they're still going to have sedans. And guess what? The Mustang has just been announced to come to race next year. It's the hot car. As you notice, in all of their announcements, Mustang is going to be a pinnacle car for them. So for us, I think it's all going to go forward in the right way.
Do you think it's going to change the perception of stock car racing in the U.S.?
No, I think we got Camaros and Mustangs, and, you know, Toyota has vehicles and anybody else that comes in. I think it's just, look, it's drivers, it's teams, it's sponsors, it's you guys out there, you know, that make the difference. I don't think it's going to be a blip at all.
We'll go to Caleb on the far left and then to Pat and Kelly.
Caleb Whistler, KickingTheTires.net. Todd, we saw Fords in the first stage kind of pit after 12 laps, and then guys did that same strategy in the second stage. How did that caution with the big one on the back stretch kind of change up that strategy for you guys?
Well, it's, you know, you've got to be adaptive when the cautions come out, but we still needed to be on the front side of, you know, it's, I think as we see it, we need to be on the front side of the pit cycle. And when you can separate yourself from the group, you limit your risk from what happens with the pack. So for us to make the early pit stops in both stages kind of separated our group out of the pack, and then you're less vulnerable to it. Unfortunately, that one happened after we kind of got back together, but it put us in a situation where we weren't where we could finish the race, but I wanted to stay on sequence with the rest of them because, you kind of start to scan what's everybody going to do. Wanted to come to pit road, but didn't want to be buried where we get vulnerable to a wreck happen again. But it's an opportunity to get yourself where you shorten up your fuel cycle and you can take your tires now and not have to take tires when you do have to come. You get in your fuel window to finish. So it's something. It's not how the strategy was laid out to start with, but these strategies, you can lay out the best strategy to start the race, and it'll go haywire in lap three by what happens on the racetrack. So really only gave us an opportunity to make our last stop quicker, which I think by doing that, we had a good fuel stop there under green and fortunately cycle ourselves to the front.
Come back to the middle to Pat and then go to Kelly.
Pat DeCola, NASCAR.com for Roger.
are the two best plate racers in the sport under your roof?
Well, look, there's been a lot of good plate racers, and certainly when you look at the guys that are out there today, our guys are at the top of the game. I think anybody would say that across the garage area, the drivers and team owners and crew chiefs. Look, there's always somebody else who might win a race, but, you know, I certainly feel good about the team we have. We saw Menard today in the right kind of car, did a great job. Blaney has been there. So overall, you know, I think that we focus on these races. You know, with the car setups and the way Todd and the Aero guys put these things together, then, of course, we've had the benefit of some great motors from Ford and Roush Yates. So when you put that all together, I think that I give our guys an A-plus today, certainly in the execution.
I'd love to add to that that I'd say Ryan Blaney's getting pretty darn close to it. I think he's made leaps and bounds, and I wouldn't put anybody that drives a Team Penske race car out of the mix when it comes to winning here.
We'll go on the far left to Kelly and then back up to Bob.
Kelly Crandall, Racer.com. For either Todd or Roger, I think today will maybe help change the narrative, but do you feel like you kind of came into today maybe flying under the radar a little bit? A lot of talk has been around the 18 and the 4, but Joey came in second in points and has had the second best average all year.
Well, we haven't had a win, and you know we're never satisfied, you know, at Team Penske without getting in the winner's circle. So I would say the monkey was on our back, and you know, getting that through today, it's not just a win for Joey and Todd, it's a win for the whole team, which you know, certainly is key as we look at the different automotive racing series we're in. We've had wins in all of them, so you know, this was one that was not on all of us, but going under the radar screen, I don't know how you go under the radar screen in this sport anywhere, but certainly Stuart Haas deserved every single bit of the credit that they've had up to this point. And, you know, we came out at Daytona, we were strong. You know, we won 125s, you know, the Clash and things like that. You know, we were out there. So it was a matter of executing. And I think today, you know, we put ourselves in position, and guess what? We won.
Go back to Bob.
Bob Pocker, ESPN. Roger, what did you think of the package today and the racing today? It looked like the cars were fairly unstable, which probably resulted in the wreck that cost Brad, and yet probably also kept drivers from making big moves there at the end of the race.
I think there's, you know, a lot of thought, a lot of intelligence in those guys that are out there on this racetrack. They know that you don't race until the end, maybe at the end of the stages. And I think there's discipline within the teams, even the drivers themselves, even the younger drivers that haven't driven here. I think I saw a lot of discipline. Look, the cars, I kind of like it when the cars, you know, or not, don't just go out there and you stand on the gas and run around all day. It puts the real drivers in the driver's seat, and the ones that have experience, and I think you saw that today, who was running up front most of the time. But, look, I thought it was a good show. You know, we've had wrecks here before. That's not the first one I've had at Talladega, and I'm not sure what caused that. So, again, you know, close racing, you're going to have that. And to me, the outcome, you know, was a safe race. I think the safety that that NASCAR is executed in these cars. You don't see them. I saw the wreck of McMurray the other day, but, you know, overall, I think we've made a big step forward, and plate racing is, people love it. You could see the stands today, number of fans that were here. It was a real credit to the team down here, and also to see the emotion, what's going on in those grandstands. I'm up in the back there watching that, and I'll tell you, it was a good day for us.
Come over here to the left side.
This is for Todd. What do you think percentage-wise is that this same package will be coming back here in the fall? And second part of that, if you could be the czar for one day to decide what changes are made to improve the cars when they do come back here fall, what would some of those changes be in your mind?
I'm not the czar. I work within the rules that are given to me. To your question, I guess, of what's the likelihood of it coming back, I would be surprised if we made major changes from where we are. I think NASCAR does a great job as a sanctioning body of identifying where we need to be. And, I mean, if there needs to be they made a 64th of an inch plate change coming into the race. And they made good decisions on how they could work with the motor manufacturers to make sure everybody was happy with that and could accommodate that. Those are tweaks as to where the speed goes. But I don't see, you know, I think we made a safety initiative out of where the package went to. The cars being lower is less likely to get airborne and way up. I know we saw the one car get rolled. It's hard when a car gets T-boned in the side and gets pushed up in the air to not be in the air. There's just not that much downforce. go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to add to that. I think that, you know, one of the things we've done as car owners is really sat down with NASCAR, and, you know, we talk about costs, and we can't be, you know, building a new car with new, you know, technical specs, you know, during the season. We can take a spoiler, maybe a little bit of the horsepower out, but, you know, I would assume that that if we're going to have a change, they're going to give us lead time to do that because, you know, we got to go back. We've got to go to the wind tunnel. We've got to build cars, and we don't need to have that kind of expense in the middle of the season.
Do we have any final questions for Roger or Todd?
Thank
All right,
you guys.
Gentlemen. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks.